Good afternoon, dear brethren. I'm glad you're here, because you're going to help us on studying 1 John 3, verses 1 to 3. And so we'll turn to our Bibles to 1 John, first letter of John in chapter 3, and we'll read you verses 1, 2, and 3. Here's what the Apostle John said. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. The third verse is, and everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Okay, and we have the questions laid out here for us. And the first question is, what is the significance of being a son of God? First of all, why do you think that John wrote this? What is the reason for stating these three verses that we have read? What's the reason for it? Give us your opinion, and then we'll get to the question. Has a thought on that? To get it rolling? You can see here the importance of being blessed. The importance of being a son of God. Where will it lead us? What is the relationship that is so important to be sons of God? Come lead us. Then we'll come to you.
We are children of God. We're trained for a future work that was not possible until our Savior came and opened the door.
Okay, thank you. There's a sister in front here who has a... Well, my door's on her way down. Otherwise, if you keep running back and forth, Brother Ray, you're going to lose weight. We become adopted sons of God,
that's
don't
right.
we?
That's correct.
Yes, yes. And what is interesting, just hold that back of your mind, and that is when she said about Adam as being the son of God, do you think... Later on, just think about it. Do you think that in the next age that the world of mankind be recognized as sons of God? Think about it. Sister right here has a comment.
May I read brother Romans?
Yes.
Chapter 8.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 15.
Very good.
17.
Yes.
For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of bondage by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we might also be glorified together.
Thank you.
What Apostle Paul explains looks like his only way to be an heir, joint heir with Christ.
And so it's
because we have to be a children.
Okay, very good. So, in other words, in this first first verse, and because of this, it says, for this reason the world does not know us, doesn't recognize who we are, because it did not know Him to begin with. Sister Sue had mentioned something, and I want to follow up on that just to add to it. Think about it. If there's time to answer, we'll answer it. What happened on the 40th day when Jesus appeared in the presence of God for us? What happened? Think about it. Okay, brother there has a thought, please.
Brother Ken, as John's epistles and in his gospel also, the key message is about God's love. And even this first verse, it starts with love of Father. I think that is the most important for us to become and achieve to become sons of God. And to answer the next question that you asked, I'd like to quote or take you to the center of Bible, which is John 3:16. Which is a verse that we all know by heart. And John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We are trying to become sons of God, but in the coming kingdom, that sonship, or relative sonship, will be given to the entire mankind of entire world of mankind, and that's the beautiful plan. We don't want to send anyone to hell. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that thought. See how great a love the Father had bestowed upon us. And the brother brought out the scripture, John 3:16, that God so loved the world. You know, when we say the world, and what it means, it's Adam. Because Adam is the world. That's why he said that. God so loved Adam, his world, because Adam's the one who progenated the world. Anyone else?
Just before we go you read out verse 16. Can you read 17 as well, which is the verse that most people seem, or most churches seem to forget? They read 3 and 16,
yes,
but not the next.
Yeah, please read verse 17. John 3, 6.
But whoso hath this world... For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him.
And I think that's one of the critical points that is
very good
forgotten. Brother okay. Henry.
Brother Henry, please. Don't forget we're studying 1 John, not Jude.
Yes. We need to keep in mind the separation of these sons of God being prepared for the divine nature. Because in Job 1:6 it says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. So there's a reference there to, I'd understand that probably spirit being sons of God.
Okay.
And you asked, I think, about the one in Romans 8. It says 8:21, you know, the early ones is about being heirs and joint heirs with Christ, but 8:21, the whole creature or creation itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So all mankind would be sons in the human sense.
Okay, so we kind of combine that together. Very good. Any other last moment thoughts before we go, or some scriptures you may have until we go to the next question? He needs a Canadian flag. That's the only way I can recognize him.
You asked the question before, Brother Ken, what happened on the 40th day when Jesus appeared in the presence of God for us? I'd just like to read a couple of verses in Hebrews 12, verses 11 and 12.
Okay, please.
But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. I like some of the other translations which say neither by the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. And I think that really gives the correct thought, with his own blood. You remember, we're told in the Old Testament that the life is in the blood. So is what he actually entered in with was the value of the ransom. The life which he gave for the world and for the church, and he presented that to the Heavenly Father on behalf of the church at this time, and the Heavenly Father accepted it, and that gave the church a release from the Adamic death sentence. It was only for the church at that particular time. He still hasn't yet presented the value again for the world. That'll be in the future. But that presentation gave us a release from the Adamic death sentence, and also for everyone who consecrated their life all down the age, then came under that. They didn't have to have it a presentation again, but that was then available for all those who were called. Thanks.
Thank you very much. I don't know if you all heard what Brother Tosh said, but it is very, very good, and that's important. Why our Lord appeared in the presence of God for us, which He built up. And so His merit, the value of His life, that blood was, first of all, on behalf of the sons of God. Okay? Remember that. That's the merit. That's the value that He presented. And that value that He presented to the Heavenly Father still is there at deposited until the last member goes beyond the veil. That's when that blood of the last member going beyond the veil, that is going to seal and put the new covenant into operation. And that's what Brother Tosh said will be to the whole world of mankind. So nothing can be released to the world until that merit is paid for, which is the sons of God, until that comes to a complete stop. Okay, let's go to our next question because we'll run out of time, and then we'll have to use Brother Ray's time. Okay, next question. Is now the only time when God has sons other than Jesus? Is now the only time when God has sons other than Jesus? What's your thought on that?
I think my personal thoughts would be it is yes. This is the time. This is the gospel age where the sons of God are being called, and the challenge for to become a son of God is to constitute your all to do His will as per Romans 12 and 1. And He is the one who is going to reward us, and we are assured that we have the faith in Jesus that will help us to travel along this sojourning narrow pathway to become sons of God. Yes, this is the time. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you very much, because that's exactly what the question is. Is now the only time? That's the point. Okay, anyone else have a thought on that? Don't be afraid that you might give us a different answer, because we'll accept it anyway and we'll work on it.
I think we've had a couple of points brought up that Adam was also known as the Son of God. I think we have to look here at what He is calling on, and if you're in advertising, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. This is talking about becoming children of God or sons of God in a spiritual sense, which wasn't what Adam had. He did not have that. This is an offer to become the bride of Christ, and it's an offer that's only available now. We can't say, well, look, we'll put it off for a little while and come back. This is, as Brother Nohan said, this is the offer that is available now. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Brother Les, please.
Brethren, from the memory, now we call children of God. That means sons and daughters. Thank you.
Okay,
I don't know what is written only from the memory. I remember that this verse exists, Joshua. You remember it. Now we are called children of God. Privilege.
Okay. Anyone else before we move on?
Well,
tell us where you're from. Well, we don't know
me?
Your name.
I'm from Canada. I've got a Canadian flag.
He was born in Toronto.
So you see me now.
Poor city.
Well, the question was, is now the only time when God had sons other than Jesus? Well, in Genesis 6, 2, and some other verses, it talks about the angels. The sons of God saw the daughters of men who were beautiful. So unless it's different sons, but it says sons.
Well,
thank you.
They weren't genuine. That's the only problem. That's true, but we do find it even in the book of Proverbs where it talks about other sons of God. But I think here, as we're talking about the specific ones, it's what the subject is about. And the subject is concerning the church itself being the sons of God. Is there any other time? Yeah, well, we had comments on that. Anyone else have a thought? Okay, let's go to our next question. Now, you may have questions in between. If we have time, we would entertain it as well. Brother Tosh, please.
You're speaking about now is the accepted time. The passage which brings that out is in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's read 1 and 2. We then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he says, I have heard thee, and in the time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Somebody was, one of the brethren was telling me once, he went to a church, and the minister was giving an address on this, and he emphasized the fact that now is the accepted time, now is the only time. You know, you must accept Christ now, because now is the accepted time. Actually, in the this is taken from the Hebrew, and the Hebrew passage doesn't actually say that. It says now is a accepted day, not the. And the same in the Greek, in the Corinthian passage. Now is a, not the. And so it's one of the accepted times. It is the only accepted day for the church, the only accepted day for the spiritual sons of God. But then there's a further accepted day coming for all mankind. But when they mistranslate it and put the word the in, it sort of it gives that thought that there's no other day coming. But once we realize that shouldn't be there, it's helpful.
Very good. Thank you, Brother Tosh. This is something to remember also. We have thousands of religions in the world, and they all have the same scripture that they use. In other words, you join us now, or you're going to be forever lost. Now is the time of salvation to become blah, blah of that church or some organization. And even, you know, surprisingly, even our closest friends will also have that same idea. In other words, you have to accept our teaching in order to escape Armageddon. And if you don't accept our teaching, you know what happens. You're forever gone. Anyway, and they have the right to they claim they have the right to judge. Sister.
May I read first?
Yes, please.
From James, James chapter 1, verse 18.
Mm-hmm.
Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruit of his creatures.
Very good.
This time.
Yes. Yes.
His creatures.
Yeah.
That means spiritual
fruit. Now is the only time. And that's the invitation that the Lord opened up unto us. You remember when Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan, when he came out of the river and he walked along the seashore, and what are the first words he said? Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And that's been going on for close to 2,000 years. Yes. Okay. There's one more there. Okay. Please. He's got only one maple leaf on it.
Thank you, brother. We know that the Heavenly Father has many sons, but the ones he's dealing with, especially in Romans 8:13, the ones that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God he's dealing with in this day and age, and no other sons yet.
Yeah. Thank you very much. You know, when we talk about Abraham, it don't matter how close he was to the Heavenly Father, yet he was referred to as a friend of God. He was not referred to as the Son of God. Okay.
Galatians 4, 6 and 7.
Read us 5, 6 and 7.
Okay. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons, and because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ.
You know, I don't know how you think about it, but it is such a close, wonderful relationship that has opened up unto us to be referred as sons of God. You take an irregular worldly family, and if there's someone that's been out on the street and walks into this family, and this family adopts this individual, and he becomes part of the family. He imagines the joy that individual has that came off the street, and this family has adopted him, and claim as their adopted son. You have no idea the joy that goes through that individual's mind. And I think it's the same with each one of us. You have no idea the closer relationship you have, which is so important. Okay, who's next? Let's go to our next question. And this goes back, again, to verse 1 of the one that we're looking at, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. And in verse 1 it says, what would you say is the fundamental meaning of the word bestowed? And it is in the King James Version. Other versions use a different word. But in the King James Bible it says bestowed. What's your thought on that? I'll read it to you again out of the New American Standard. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us. What is the meaning of that word bestowed upon us? And that's the question here. What is the fundamental meaning of the word bestowed as we read here in this verse? Who has a thought on that? You might have a scripture. We're welcome. Your thoughts on that?
I would say that it's a gift given, like, a given gift.
Entire possession. Entire possession is what it is. You ever thought, anyone? Brother Les here at his end of. How great a love the Father has bestowed upon us, this entire possession.
If I read this verset, I feel how big love God gives us. First, ransom and high calling.
You know, in our Bible student fundamental doctrines that we feel are most important. I don't know what your feeling is, but most of the Bible students have that feeling. And the first doctrine that was so important, even in Brother Russell recognized it later on in his years too, is the ransom. Was a very important doctrine. And the second one was a call to the church to be sons of God. Brother Ray.
I think the point to me with bestowed is it's not something we can go out and earn. There's nothing that we can do that makes God want to make us children, his children. We can't go out and earn that. It is because of his wonderful love and the merit of his son's great sacrifice that we are then called. And we actually bring nothing because everything that we already have, he gave us. So it really is that gift that you can't buy. You know, you can't come and say, I'll offer this or I'll offer that and take that position. And I think that's really, to me, what it means that it was bestowed to us. Thank you.
That's so true. Now, that's why it starts off, the great love the Heavenly Father had. In other words, this individual that he had created to do all the creative work, all the galaxies, I mean, you have no idea of the architect that was involved behind the Heavenly Father. Finally, he was given up his only beloved son who was his creator. He's given him up. And that's what it means. He has bestowed upon us all he had on behalf for us. And that individual that he gave on behalf of us, he was responsible to create the galaxies. Now you look at this earth that he created for us. It's a wonderful place for you and I to live in. A beautiful earth. Think about what the Heavenly Father has given. And that's the same picture as you go back to Father Abraham. You go back to Abraham giving his son Isaac. What did he give? All that he had. The only son he had. His only begotten son. And you know what's nice about the story of Abraham? You all know about that. And Paul brings that out. Abraham had such great faith in the Heavenly Father that even if he was to slay his son, that God would raise him from the dead, would awaken him from the sleep of death. And that's the picture. Oh, okay. Yeah, there's a
Apostle Paul, when he was looking for the God's plan, he wrote to the brethren, I judge that between you, I don't see any more beautiful, important knowledge, only about Jesus Christ. Thank you.
And that's exactly what Paul did all his life. He preached our Lord Jesus. He never failed. There's a sister way up behind in the very back that is, okay, you want to catch two birds with one stone, don't you?
I just need to say with the gift that of what a great honor and privilege of that gift. That's what it seems to say to me. Bestowed is a gift that has a great privilege and honor attached to it.
And he didn't have to. And he did it. The entire possession. Here is an individual that was involved in the architect of this wonderful plan of the ages. Go. Die on the cross.
Oh, wow. In regard to the word bestowed, I was thinking it's unlimited.
Yes.
We cannot imagine what unlimited is. It's the fullness of his love. And this is what John was all about. The book of John is always, like they said, it was more like the character of God expressed, the book of John did. And here in this next, it says, knowing God through love. It says, beloved, let us love one another, for God is love, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God. And so I think that would fall into your next question about the world and the difference.
I like that. Let me enlarge on that just a little bit, Sue. Now, what Sister Sue had said, I would say all the elders of all your church classes, take note of that. And you can study that home in your class. And the subject is going to be, what is the difference between knowing something about God and knowing God? The world of difference. And you can study that, and you can study that for two Sundays. The other question is that you can study in class, what is the difference between knowing something about Jesus and really knowing him? Because the world, as you look, you've got 4,000 religions in the world. They all know something about God, but they don't know God. And that's the scripture that Sue just read. They don't know. Sister?
I think that listen to him and doing what he wants from us, that's fulfilled his will, you know. So that's the knowing God. Thank you.
Good, good, very good. Anyone else? We're going to combine the other. You've answered also the other question, 2 and B. What are the implications of the meaning of the word bestowed, which has been brought out already? A brother here.
I'd like to read a couple of verses from Romans chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, Brother Ken.
Please.
Verse 23, Romans chapter 4, verse 23.
Yeah.
Now, not for his sake only was it written that it was credited to him, but for our sake also, to whom it will be credited, as those who believe in him who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. In other versions, in the better translation, instead of credited, it is imputed. So, yes, we know the love of God. We know the ransom price of Jesus, ransom that Jesus paid. But the most important thing that we learn also from the tabernacle picture is Christ's righteousness, God's love and wisdom permitted to be imputed on us. What have we done to achieve, even to come to this knowledge of Christ? So it is God's mercy has brought us, and he sees that by imputing his son's righteousness on us, that he sees us as his sons now. Thank you.
Good. And that's been in progress for almost 2,000 years. Yeah, and still going on. In other words, he still is a ransom for those that are still not born. Anyone else would like to share something with us? Okay. Let's go to our next... we'll be able to entertain questions maybe if we have time, if you may have some. Now, question number 4. In what sense does the world not know us? In what sense
does the world not know us? In what sense does the world not know us? What do you think? Why doesn't the world know us? Was it yesterday that we talked about the mystery?
Just what I was going to say is the mystery, and you said it's known to the initiated, which of
it's a sacred secret. And that's
secret.
What the word mystery means.
And God would reveal His secrets to His servants. It says.
All right.
And it bestowed in a couple of translations. It's got shown to His, shown us.
Okay.
Thank you.
You remember the parable that, well, I should say the question that the disciples had asked him. He says, why do you speak in parables? You remember that question? And what was his answer? It's given to you to understand, but to them it is not. Why? Well, their hearing is bad. They don't understand what they hear. Right? Okay. Les, did you have a thought?
Lord told, because world don't know me, doesn't recognize me as I am the servant, and you and the world won't know you too. If the master wasn't accepted and unknown, how the followers can be known? They don't know us, that we left everything in our life, you know.
Yeah.
We went, we took sacrifice, narrow way, because we know who told us, who called us, and we know where we are going. World doesn't know us. But Bible says that in the future, the people that will say, oh, this one was born there.
Yeah, they told us that today.
In the future, not now. Thank you.
Brother Tosh had that. Very good. Anyone else? How come the world doesn't know us? Do we look kind of different than the rest of the world? Our attitude is different, I think, isn't it?
Few words.
Yes.
During the war, we had the three beloved brothers in 20 years age in Germany. He was writing a letter to the wife, one of the brother Adler, to the father and mother, and to the class. Thank you, my beloved parents. Thank you, beloved brother. After 2 hours, I will be with the Lord. Did I know him?
Yeah.
And by guilt, and you know, head was going out. After he wrote letter 2 hours before the execution. Who knows?
Yeah.
Lord.
Thank you. The world didn't know that. They didn't understand why he died.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyone else have a? Put your hand out so we can see you. David, do you have a thought? Huh? Tell us your story.
Well, it's funny, they don't know us because I suppose the world's very selfish, and we try not to be selfish. So when we don't fit in, we don't become like them, we think opposite, therefore, and we just don't fit into their plans or their directions. You can see it at work often, or, you know, in the street or wherever. And I think they often want us to be like them, because then they don't, their conscience doesn't bite them. You know, if we're different, we make them stand out as being bad, right? If everybody's like them, then it's all normal, isn't it? And isn't today's rules and laws, everything's by consensus? Let's all agree on this and it must be right. So, yeah, I think we make them feel bad. That's why they don't like us.
Yeah, in other words, it's just like the Pope made a statement, just the one before he died. He says, let's compromise. He went to the other religion and says, let's compromise. I don't, how many, I guess some of you who lived in America know about Jerry Falwell in America? You heard of him? Well, he made some criticism about some of the other groups, and boy, he was asked to go and compromise with the other group. Well, when he got back, he still got raked over the coals, because that's not what the church believes. So you can see that there are different things in the world. Anyone else have a thought on that? I'm sorry, there's a brother over there.
To answer your question is because we are not of the world. And if we can read 1 John 2 and verses 15.
Read that, please.
Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world that the craves of sinful man and lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, come not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever.
Thank you very much. Who is the God of this world? Does he appreciate light? No. Brother back here. No. He hates light. He loves darkness.
He's a liar. Running around us.
He's just further on about the world, on what that brother said, when Jesus was being taken to court and judged, he answered it for us because he said, my kingdom is not of this world.
And then
further on he said, for this I have been born, and to this end have I come into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. And that's exactly why the world doesn't understand us.
Exactly. The world does not understand. We have a young... I'm sorry, but you had just asked.
Yeah, it's just interesting because many know Sue and I have moved, and we've moved into Casino. It's interesting because we've been there, and a couple of the ministers came around to see whether they can get you into their church to boost the numbers. The biggest difficulty they had was, you go to a church, where is it? Oh, well, it's whatever house we're able to go into. What's the hierarchy? And we were saying we're coming down here and there'd be a baptism. Oh, who's allowed to baptise them? Who's got that qualification that allows them to serve the memorial? You know? So they're looking at it from a world point of view. And we really do not fit in, because we haven't got that hierarchy. We have. It's Christ and his Father. But there's not that man-made one. And they cannot understand that. And if they cannot understand and you don't fit in, then they're frightened. Because if you have this order that someone's going to tell you what to do, it's much easier.
Well, that's how the religious organizations are growing up. In other words, they go through all these theology schools and so on. And Brother Tosh has his hand up.
Yes, I'm the thought that the world doesn't know us. I was just going to read a couple of scriptures which show the time when the world is going to know us. They don't know us at the present time because to them we're just a member of the world. They don't realise that. But a passage that I like particularly always is in Romans chapter 8. And I'm going to read the 19th verse. For the earnest expectation of the creature, or some translations put the creation, which I like a bit better, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. They don't know that that's what they are waiting for, but they are waiting for that because that is the time when the kingdom age is starting and all their hopes are going to be fulfilled. And then we think of the other scripture as well. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. I haven't just got that scripture in front of me, but I'm just quoting that verbatim. While we're speaking about the sons of God, I might as well read the 14th verse in Romans 8. That really gives a condition for being the sons of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So we can only be the sons of God if we are led by the Spirit of God, if we give up our own will, and allow ourselves to be led by the Spirit of God. That is a distinction that makes us the sons of God. Thanks.
Thank you, and that's what makes the difference, isn't it? What Brother Tosh is saying just reminded me of something before we get to our next brother. Back in Canada, we have a young couple in class. They've been attending for a year or two. And so they're trying to present the truth to the friends. They're from Croatia. And they kept telling them and telling them. And he says, they just don't get it. They don't get it. Well, why don't they get it? Because they don't have the measure of the Holy Spirit to understand it. You have to have the Holy Spirit to be able to understand what's being said, and that's the difference. You had your hand up over there.
From my experience, brother, I think the biggest stumbling block amongst the churches is that they don't understand the Lord's Prayer. After giving praise to the Heavenly Father, the most important thing he says, let thy kingdom come. You ask the churches today, anybody, any minister, you've got no idea the answers that you might get. They have no idea. No idea. Therefore, they can't accept 144,000, a particular number. They can't accept that it's a heavenly class because they're looking for an earthly kingdom.
Correct.
And we all know 2 Corinthians 4:4, where Satan is the god of this world.
Exactly.
And they cannot believe because it says the god of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, or it's better put, perceive not.
Yeah.
And unless we are led by the Holy Spirit, they have the spirit of Satan. And therefore, they got no idea. And if they can't understand or can't even look for what the message is of the kingdom, therefore, they're on negative ground. Thank you, Bill.
The ears are deaf, right? That's what the Lord said. And the eyes, they can't see. Anyone else have their hand up? Ray, please.
We're just waiting for his electronic version of the Bible to turn over.
All right.
It's 1 Corinthians 2:14 we need, James, I'm told.
1 Corinthians 2:14?
Yes. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. 12 and 13. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words.
Just while we're there, brother.
Please.
Ken.
Yeah.
I think one of the points is the words that are written, if we come back to verse 9, James, thanks. To me, this is the real point. Things which eye have never seen and ear have never heard and which have never entered into the heart of man. All that God has prepared for those who love him. Because unless you understand the love of God, you don't understand it. I know Adam and I could not get over the delight that one of the people listening to our discourse had when he stood there and said, but I can't wait for the hellfires to see my relatives burn. And I'm thinking, this can't be the God that we know. And I think this is the point. It's knowing God. They know a God, but they do not know the God of love, and that's a very big difference.
Yes.
They know a man-made God, in a way.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Brother Ray. Anyone else? Brother Les?
Spiritual things, spiritual food, you know, not earthly.
to spiritual.
Yeah.
Spiritual. Thank you.
Okay. Let's go on. Anyone else has last minute on this subject? Carm?
Yeah, a little bit. When the apostle said, why do you speak to them in parables? He says, because it's not for them to understand, it's for you to understand. And they went on and said, because if they understand, then I'd have to judge them. That's why they are not permitted to see, because they don't have the spirit. They haven't got the quality in their heart, and they wouldn't know what to do with it. They'd abuse it, so it's hidden from them.
Thank you much. I was going to just give you a little example how blind the world is, as you've been reading that scripture. It reminded me of our granddaughter when she was going to kindergarten, and the kindergarten teacher said something about Jesus being the God of this world. Well, she says to the kindergarten teacher, no, not so. Jesus is the Son of God. And she argued it back and forth. Okay. So the teacher told her how wrong she was. She went back home. She dug up the scripture. She brought it back to the teacher and told her, this is the book. Here it is. So they weren't very good friends, anyway. Yeah, yeah. But you see, now, it just goes to show, in what sense does the world not know it? It's just like when we said about the word mystery. And the word mystery really means it's a sacred secret only revealed to the initiated. And you, brethren, let me tell you this. This is the most wonderful gift that you have. It's understanding what God's plan of the ages is. It's an unspeakable gift which came through our Lord Jesus. Unspeakable. You have a thought, please?
Yes, about the for whom it was sent to understand.
And, yeah, okay.
And also the timing, you know, when it was spoken. In Gospel of John, chapter 7 and verse, maybe from 38 and 39, I read, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So it wasn't for all, but it was still for those who followed him. It was later on, when the Holy Spirit was given, then they can fully understand what Jesus was talking about. Thank you.
Thank you much. Anyone else have a thought, Ray?
I think that was one of the very important points, because the only reason we understand is because of the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's not because we've gone to university. It's not for because we're wonderful at translating Greek into anything or Hebrew. No. There are scholars that can do that have no concept of God's plan. It's only because we're given that gift of the Holy Spirit and the understanding that we can have the privilege we have.
Thank you much. The sister has a thought here.
Yes, I think the world can't understand us with the connection, spiritual connection, which we got with Jesus and God. That is impossible.
Yeah.
The normal people understand this. They sometimes think when they persecuted us or rejected us in a life or shame of us, you know? And they think, okay, we finally beat them. No. And they can't understand our spirit of sacrificial love.
Yeah.
Which Jesus, in his prayer in chapter 17 in John, he showed this unity with God and with us. He asked for comforter, for help. And that is our spiritual connection. And the world can't beat us. More persecuted, more laughing of us, more. That is our closer connection with God and Jesus. We keep from that our strength, quite opposite what we're expecting. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you so much. That's so true. Okay. I'm going to read you a scripture here again, because that's the question is based on that scripture. Question number 5, and that is, the scripture says, "Beloved, now we are children of God. It has not appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is." Okay. The question, has He appeared now? And if so, has He yet been revealed what we shall be like? Question, has He appeared now? And if so, has it yet been revealed what we shall be like? Any of you have a manna? Look up August the 25th manna and read it. And that will give you an answer to this question. Yes. August 25th. August 25th. I don't know how to say August in Polish, so forgive me. Oh, that's simple, huh? You have it? Okay, the brother has it there. Read it. Now listen to it carefully, the comments that Brother Russell makes. Now, first of all, just before he's going to read...
Do you want the verse too, brother, or first, leading up to it?
Well, that's the verse that we had just read, yeah.
I'm sorry.
You can read the verse. Go ahead. And refresh the brethren's minds what the verse is about.
We know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. The comments are, let the hope that we shall soon experience our resurrection change and be made like our dear Redeemer and see Him as He is and share His glory in great Athenia, or shining forth of the sons of God in the glory of the kingdom, enthuse us. Let this energize our hearts, loose our lips, and strengthen us for every duty, privilege, and opportunity to serve our Master and the household of faith. If this hope has been an anchor to the Lord's people for so many centuries, how much more does it mean to us who are living now in the very time of the present of His presence, waiting for His apocalypse, His revealing in the glory of the kingdom? Yes, brother. Very good, isn't it?
Thank you. Very good. Now, did you hear the comments? What does the word in the scripture mean? Appears. What is the original Greek word there? Now, Brother Russell has a nice article in the Reprint Articles in the Watchtower, and it's entitled Parousia, Apophania, Apocalypsis. And that is a very good article. I would recommend you, brethren, to have a look at it. Now, what does the word appear mean here? For we should know that when He appears, we shall see Him, we will be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And how is He now? Exactly. He's a divine being. Okay, did you have a thought on that, anyone? Ray, please.
Just having a look here, it is manifestly declared, made manifest, manifest forth, to show self.
Bright shining.
Yeah.
You know, that's what the word appears, the word that says in the scripture appears, that Greek word is epiphania. And the epiphania is what the brother is saying, it means bright shining, is the meaning of that word. Okay? Anybody want to comment on that? Has He appeared now? And if He has, okay, go ahead.
Really, it was the Apostle Paul was the only fleshly person to come close to seeing our Lord in His present state, and that blinded him. So how could the world of mankind see Him coming in the clouds if the Apostle Paul seen Him in His glory? It's an impossibility to.
Okay, very good. Anyone else have a thought? Any hands up? Yes, please. Other thoughts, please?
Except I'm going to have to use someone to find it for me. See a glass darkly is the word. who's yeah. got that. Because I think that's all we're seeing at the moment.
Yes.
We're seeing through a glass darkly. We have, you know, a very difficult concept for us to even contemplate what a spiritual being is, because we haven't been able to experience it as we had there when Paul saw it. The show, you know, it damaged the eyes, changed him. Margaret's got it for me.
13:12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then not. But then shall I know, even as also I am known.
Then, future tense. Did you notice that? Then I shall see him face to face. Very good, Sister Carm.
Yeah, when it says face to face, and that we shall be like him, it doesn't say that he shall be like us. So we have to have the change, and when we're a change, and if we earn it, we will be a spiritual being and see him as he is, face to face.
And that's the picture we've seen yesterday of the immersion service. Okay. Is a brother right here?
I'd like to take back to John chapter 14, verse 3, Brother Ken.
Please, read it.
John chapter 14, verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I think that's how we would like to see the parousia of, or the return of
yes.
Jesus Christ. And based on the events and the things that we understand, the times and the seasons, the Bible students' concept would be that the Lord has returned. And upon his return, he's doing many four things, but the key thing is he's also picking his bride. And one by one, the ones who have completed the race successfully or faithfully, they'll be joined with their bridegroom.
Very
and
good.
We understand that the whole picture of the high priest is not completed, but nevertheless, those who have completed the race and joined him, they would have an opportunity to see him face to face on that side of the veil. So that is happening during the parousia, but we don't want to confuse the brethren with the other activities of the
right.
Epiphania events. Those are a bit different, where Apostle Paul tells, the wicked shall be revealed with the brightness of his coming. That means the Epiphania of his parousia. So parousia is the beginning of his return, and then we go to the Epiphania, and finally it will be apocalyptic, which is the total revealing, the eyes, all eyes shall see. So that would be the stage. But having said that, we want to keep these things in a very heartly manner, because the blessedness of his presence is is the best thing that we consecrated children of God can have at our times. Thank you.
Good. I just want to touch on this point. You mentioned something very important. In other words, when we talk about the presence, we're talking about our Lord returning as a shepherd who's shepherding his church. His return is our advocate. And that was brought out in one of the discourses. His return is our advocate, and that's important. He's not a mediator yet, but time will come shortly, which we see things happening in the world. That's so true. Anyone else would like to add anything to it? Brother Les?
Advocate for the church.
Right.
God's people, advocate for the world, in the future, mediator.
Correct.
And we appear. Lord talked about himself. John 3:16.
Yes.
In my house is a lot of mansion. I'm going to the house of the God above. But I come later, of course, and when I come, I will take you where I am. So, officially, statement from the Lord appear. He was appeared first to the members that waited in the graves. Thank you.
Good, very nice. Brother Tosh here, please.
You mentioned about the term a shepherd. Jesus is a shepherd. And I was thinking of 2 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4. This is also the time when we're going to be revealed. This is the time when he will be revealed, and we'll be revealed at the same time. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So that's really the same time as was brought out in the other verse, when he appears, and shall we appear with him in glory. This is another verse speaking about that same time, but it just gives us a little bit more information. It shows us that that's the time when we are going to receive our reward, a crown of glory. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Anyone else? We'll discern him.
Future.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. The next question here. In what sense will the Christian see him? In what sense will the Christian see him? Although some answers have been given, but maybe you want to add something to that. In what sense will the Christian see him? Carmelita behind there?
Short thing, and then someone else can comment on it. But the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain. For what? Waiting for the adoption of the sons of God. That indicates there's going to be a change. There's going to be something happening. So they will then begin to wonder and think and maybe see.
And Brother Lex had mentioned too, we'll see him in his glory. Anybody else? You may have a short question too, if you'd like to add to it. Your brother has a thought.
I was just going to add to that. It's the eye of faith, brother. That's how we see him. Through faith, and of course,
very good.
We have to know
yes.
the scriptures and the plan, but it's the eye of faith that sees him. Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to throw a question in while we're still going to be talking about in what sense will a Christian see him. Now, brother mentioned the word faith. What is the meaning of the word faith? What did the word faith mean in Abraham's day? The word faith, what does it mean? Take a guess. It doesn't. Pardon? In other words, Abram had this faith. What kind of faith did Abram have? What is that faith all about? Yeah, we'll get to it. We're going to get to it yet. We'll get to the bottom of it. The sister has a thought. Right here, Ray. The sister has a thought. What is faith?
It's actually the expectation of something hoped for but not seen.
That's good. We're going to add something else to it yet. You know what we're doing here? We're trying to simplify it.
This is not so much in faith, but of course it follows on. 1 Corinthians 13, 12, part of it was mentioned before about looking through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am known. So that'll be a wonderful capability to know as the Heavenly Father can know us at the present time, and now abideth faith, hope, and love. So there's faith. We've got to have faith that these things will eventuate.
Okay, when we look in Hebrews 11th chapter, you'll notice there, it says by faith, it names all the different patriarchs, the old people of the Bible, the old historian, and it's mentioned there. And when you combine all that together, what the word faith means, the ability to believe what God says he will do. That's in simple form what the word faith means. The ability given to you to believe what God says he will do. Someone else said it. Did you want to? Yeah, okay, so you read the verse for us here.
Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race which is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our fight, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne. He is the fighter. He finished, he fulfilled God's will. to redeem us, and so this is our example. We
so that's a picture to us now.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
The ability that faith is given to us, the ability to believe that what God says and He will do,
yeah,
we carry that out. Very good. Brother Les, please. Brother Tosh, maybe first and then Les.
I was thinking of the great example of faith that Abraham showed when he offered up his own son Isaac. And he said that he believed that even God was able to raise him from the dead. And at that time, there hadn't been anybody ever raised from the dead. So that shows a great example of faith, doesn't it?
Yes.
And the question was asked about how are we going to see him. At the present time, as has been brought out, we see him by the eye of faith. But on the other side of the veil, it will no longer be by the eye of faith. We're going to be like him, and we're going to see him exactly as he is. As one brought out, as the Apostle Paul saw him on a Damascus road, as one born out of due time. As, in other words, as one that has had a resurrection out of due time. So that will be a great difference to the way the Apostle Paul saw him then and the way that we're all going to see him later. It's not going to blind us anymore because we're on the same plane of existence, and so we'll be seeing him in rather a different way to the way the Apostle Paul did. We'll see him in his glory, and we'll be in our glory at that time.
Thank you, Brother Tosh. Brother Tosh reminded me of another thing that, you know, the scriptures tell us in the Old Testament, the eyes of the blind shall be opened. And that's, he triggered it up. There's a sister at the very back there. Oh, Brother Les, I'm sorry.
Hebrew 11:19. Because I have a Polish, you know, then.
Okay, it translated to English. Anyway, okay, while we're looking up Hebrews 11:19, we'll go to the sister at the back. Oh, she's going to read it for us. Oh, how nice. Look at that. Okay, and then we'll come back to you here.
It says, Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. Is that the one you wanted?
That's good. That's good. But we're going to touch on what you said there, but we're going to get back here to Les and the sister right here. Now, you remember when he said he raised him back, and how do you receive Isaac back?
The dead.
And you know where that picture is showing? No, what she was saying about that scripture.
I'll
just mention that to you. We had a deep study on that one time. That is pictured when Abraham lifted his knife up to slay his son. That was a picture of death. He didn't have to slay him. That's the picture. A knife was a picture of death. And that's how he received Isaac back. Sister has a thought here, please.
From Hebrew chapter 11 and verse 11, and also I want to read 6.
Okay, please.
Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So this is the necessity. Faith is the necessity that God will give us. And he will provide us just to come to him and ask him. But without faith, we cannot do this.
Very good. Very good. Okay, then we'll go to the sister back door. At the back. I'm sorry.
Brethren, faith. If we are going to Egypt, 2 million people with the sticks in their hands, and God told that I will be savior for them through Moses. And big nation, strong nation, economically, that time Egypt was a power, superpower, and he had to leave Israel free. Before was only 5, they didn't see, but they believed Moses.
verse 1. Now, we are going to prophecy. God in the prophecy told that Savior will be sent and will be born. Where? In Bethlehem. Where he born? In Damascus or another city? Fulfilling prophecy. Now, God told that Jesus Christ will be died. And he died. God told as in third day he will be resurrected as the, how we say English, the man who was in the water, in the inside the sea, big fish, Jonas. Yes. If we are going step by step, what God told has been fulfilled in our eyes miracle. After 2,500 years, Israel has been established.
We'll take the comments of the sister to back, and then we'll go to our next question, please.
It's Sister Freya. what I wanted to say before is, to me, to really put it simply, is that we trust. The faith is trust in God, like a small child trusts a parent, trusts the father. You know, when a child is very young, they don't know anything. That they know to look to their parent and completely trust that parent. And I think that's like we are. We're just little children. We have no idea really about the big, you know, wide universe out there and what's in store for us. We really, really need to trust God like a loving father.
Thank you very much. That, you know, the child is so innocent is another thing. It'll follow, it'll gullible anything. But let's go to our next question because our time is going to run out on us. And that is the last question, number 7. What is the relationship between having the hope and purifying oneself? Now, we can add the two questions together. Now, how does the concept of purifying oneself relate to justification? Ooh, that's a big subject. Let's go to the first part. What is the relationship between having hope of purifying oneself? How is one purified, please?
I don't know whether I can really zoom in into your question, but I would like to quote from Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, which I believe is helpful for us in our times. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." You see here, brethren, this is a very figurative sense of Christ's return. When he returns, he knocks at the door and he has got the sup. We see that sup that he has got for us is the meat in due season. The time has come and he literally is there. He's on location. He is present. And he's got that meat in due season for us for us to be stronger and be encouraged to go through these trials of the last stages. So he has got the stuff. He's not asking us to make any new concoctions or new soups or commotions to serve him, but it is the attitude of our humility that we need to be humble enough to receive that meat in due season that he has brought into our hearts. And that is an encouragement for us. And through that, we may have the chance to be justified. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Just to add to it, just to get the question rolling a little bit further, what is the relationship between having the hope and purifying oneself? We can add the point that we talked about it earlier, that Paul brings this out in Hebrews 9:24, that God or Jesus appeared in the presence of God for us. It's through him that we're able to get this purification. It's through him. It's not through our own wisdom. We don't have it. We don't have it. But it's through the justification of our Lord Jesus, because it's his blood that justifies us. In other words, what it does, it makes us as if we're perfect, but we're not. But Jesus makes it so before the Heavenly Father. Okay, please.
Ephesians 5 and... Yes. Were you on the right? Sorry, I might have the... 5:26. Sorry, James.
Yeah.
I think here we have a very important point, that he might sanctify and cleanse it. This was talking of the church, by the washing of water by the word. The only way that we're seen as clean in any way is through the acceptance of God's word, acceptance of Christ's sacrifice. Otherwise, we're not. We're just dirty rags.
His blood cleanses us. Anyone else? Romans 5 and 1.
No, 5 and 1. Bendon stedus
tavidibis veade. Yeah, okay, yes.
Can somebody read?
Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Through our Lord Jesus. The only way. Okay, anyone else? The letter orders. We got a couple of hands back there.
I think I've got a couple more verses in the same chapter, Romans chapter 8, verses 27 to 30, that are also suitable.
Romans and 8 what?
8, 27 to 30.
27 down to 30.
Yes.
The reason I'm asking you to repeat it because of the eye is watching us here. Okay, thank you. Read it.
And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercepts for the saints in accordance with God's will. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified.
Thank you. I've seen another hand just on the other side of you.
I think it's actually hope that leads to purification. Without hope, purification has no purpose.
Okay. A sister here in front. Oh, you get, what's his name, right at the back there. And then we'll come out the front here.
Yes, with this purification, and I think I would like to mention the verse of Romans 3:20 talks about the law, that through the law that no one could get back to the perfection, and therefore no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law we became conscious in sin.
Thank you much. Okay, in front here, a sister has a thought. First Peter, would you like to read that, please?
Therefore, gird up the lens of your mind, be sober, and trust your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not confirming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy.
Question, Ray. After what time do we go? What time is it now? No kidding. How about metric time? What about metric time? One simple question. And well, I'd like to hear how you're going to describe it. How you're going to analyze it. What does the word justification mean to you? In three or four words. What does the word justification mean in the Bible? Did that put you on the spot? I'm sorry. I'll withdraw that. Sister Stepovich at the very back there, please. I didn't hear that.
Pardon.
Pardon for sin.
All right. Henry, what's your thought?
I was reading through the rest of this chapter and one's begotten of God sins not, because of our weaknesses, I'd say it's a covering for our shortcomings.
What's the Greek meaning of the word justification? Maybe I should have made it more plainer. What's the word that's supposed to be in its proper place? Like, you know, what it really means. What does the word justification mean in three words?
Reckoned right.
Say it again.
Reckoned right.
To be made right. Exactly. That's what it means. To be made right.
Yes.
Justification means to be made right.
And answer.
That's what this answer was.
Yes. Repeat.
What does the word justification mean in the Greek? To be made right.
Oh. Yes.
To be made right.
Yes.
The sister has a hand up at the back there. She's going to add the dessert to it.
when we are justified through the grace of Jesus Christ, we got a peace with God.
Very good. Did you have a thought? You had your hand up? You want to add something to it? The Chinese would say it's the same thing. Okay. You know, this brings us to a close. And I appreciated your thoughts and your comments, and reading of the scriptures was excellent, and I think you did real well in covering this subject of 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. I appreciated your comments and your made. God's Holy Spirit guide you each day of your lives. Okay, that's my prayer on your behalf. Thank you. Yeah, okay. Our gracious Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy most holy name. Heavenly Father, we thank thee once again for this opportunity we have of being together here this day. We thank thee for the lessons which have been presented this afternoon and this morning. And so the lessons that we have heard may in some way be used to bring honor and glory unto thy holy name. Remembering also the Israelites the world over need thy special care, especially the sick and the isolated. May the Holy Spirit give them the comfort and the strength. And at this time, Heavenly Father, we ask thy blessing upon our fellowship one with another. And as we're going to partake of the temporal portion of the food before us, we pray the blessing upon it also, Heavenly Father, that the strength derived would be used to thy honor and thy glory. Praying further for the further session of this day, as we commit ourselves to further guidance, we give you thanks. We ask it all in Jesus' name.